This is going to be my last message on this series, all right, called Limitless. How many of you have gotten something out of this? I pray that you have. You remember that we started it off on Easter Sunday, I believe it was, with God's love for you is what? Limitless. And because of his limitless love, you can have a limitless life, right? His love for you is absolutely limitless. And then we talked the next week, the following week, we talked about we can live a limitless life when we do what? Anybody remember? When we believe, absolutely. Then the following week was we can live a limitless life when we change. That's right, change. Everybody's like, y'all don't remember that one? I got the wrong message for tonight then. No, and then we talked about the following week, we talked about what? Life is limitless when we what? Come on, we trust, and we talked about that last week. Well, tonight, I really did feel like there was one more ingredient that I believe that you need to know about, and when it comes to living a limitless life, there's one more element, and I tell you, sometimes it can be the most difficult thing, and sometimes it can be the easiest thing. But regardless, if you're going to live a limitless life, you're going to have this one. You are going to have this one. And honestly, this is the most important message I can preach to you. I don't even know I say that every week. Yeah, absolutely. This one right here, I learned a long time ago. Actually, I learned this quite a while back. And I've actually shared this story, but it is the best example of what I can say. And I really can't spell it out any clearer than with this story. Because I have tried to think of another story or analogy or this or that or the other that would articulate it the way that I want to. And I come back to this story. So I'm sorry, if you've heard this story about me buying a boat, I'm sorry. Those of you that haven't heard it, you're going to love it, all right? But how many of you heard this story? How many of you never heard the story? Oh, you're in for it. This goes back to, I got out of the military. I've always been a boat guy. I grew up on boats. I grew up in Louisiana. So from a little kid, my grandpa and my dad oystered, shrimped, fish. I mean, we did it all. We did all that stuff, all right? And so I've always had a fascination with, I love boats, I love fishing, I love all that stuff, especially this time of year, especially on Saturday about 6:30. I love fishing. Yeah. Anyway, I got out of the military. I come home, and I start working at a body shop. Well, one of my buddies had this boat, and I had already had a little John boat, little metal boat. But how many of you know, if you're a dude, you're never, ever, ever, ever satisfied with the boat you got. It's always about the bigger, better, faster, right? That's the way I'm wired. If you're not wired that way, I don't know why you wouldn't be, because I am definitely wired that way. So get this. So Michelle and I, we've been married for probably 6-7 years now. I'm working up at the body shop. This guy has this boat. He wants $1,200 for it. I thought it was such a great deal, even though I had a boat, that I did not even ask Michelle if I should have that boat. I just went and I bought that boat. I drug it home. Michelle asked me, what are you doing? And I said, I bought the boat. She goes, okay, it was $1,200. She goes, you spent $1,200. Now, mind you, have two little kids, all right? And I'm not making a whole lot of money working at the body shop. She goes, you spent $1,200 and you didn't ask me? No, it's a great deal. Great deal, babe, is this true? Can you see the enthusiasm? So I get this boat with all intent purposes. My whole intent was to get it and then flip it, make a profit. I get this boat, I bring it home, I clean it all up, get it all running, good to go, all right? So I set it out on the US 31 bypass. The whole time she's saying, this is a disaster. This is a disaster. I'm like, I'm going to show that woman what's up. All you men are scared because your wife's sitting beside you. Come on, every dude's thought that at one point or another. I thought, you know what? I'm going to show her what's up. I'm going to flip this thing and I'm going to make a profit. That thing sat there for a year. Nobody even stopped. All right? It got so bad that the guy whose property I had it sitting on came to me and said, hey, Charlie, you know, you're going to have to move that thing, man. I mean, you're really going to have to move that thing. So finally, this is like a year and a half later, and the reason I know it was a year and a half later is because it was all through winter the boat set for sale. Spring came, and I thought, now, mind you, this has been a year, and I'm thinking, this thing has got, it's got to be gone. Got to be gone. Michelle ain't having it. By this time, she's saying these famous words. I told you. That is the worst feeling in the world. That is the worst statement I can hear. I told you. But because I'm still in my mind convinced I'm going to win. I'm holding out because the right person's going to come along. It's going to be perfect. I'm still going to make a profit. By now, I'm starting to surrender. This guy stops and he wants to look at this boat. He's like, does it run? Runs. Good to go? Good to go. I just put a new stainless steel prop on it, had it all fixed up, ready to go, right? He's like, well, I'd like to take it out. I said, when you will go. Now, it's spring. It's like the water temperature now or maybe about 3 weeks ago, all right? So I take it out to the Kokomo Reservoir. He follows me out there. We get out there. We back the boat into the water. I'm thinking, man, I go to fire it up, thing won't start. Fire, I'm pumping the gas. All of a sudden, we pop the back deck. It was an inboard, outboard. I pop the back top off of it, and you can see gas is pouring out of the carburetor. I'm like, I don't know what happened. This has never happened before. The thing runs great. He's like, well, you know, that's kind of, and I know he's getting me to come down. I'm like, yeah, well, we'll fix it. Well, it finally started up. Good to go. He's like, well, all right, will it go in gear? I'm like, dude, it runs like a top. I get it. I put it in reverse, whoom, whoom, you know, goes, no problem. I go to put it in drive. I drop it in drive. I go to push the throttle, whoom, whoom. It lunges forward once. Every time after that, nothing. Whoom, whoom, whoom. Boat's not moving. He's like, well, what's going on there? I'm like, I absolutely have no idea. It's never done this before. You know what I'm thinking at this point? It's Michelle's hex. She's done cursed this thing. So I pull the boat up out of the water. I go around to the back of the boat. The prop is gone. Gone. It's a $250 prop, y'all. I don't know where you're born, but where I was born, $250 is a lot of money. All right? And the guy said, well, you know, now, the carburetor's leaking, you know. He goes, it's missing a prop. I said, it ain't missing no prop. He said, what? I go, I'm going to get that prop. He goes, really? I walked right up out of there. I lined myself up with that motor. I walked out there literally as high as I could. Now, mind you, the water is probably 45, 50 degrees. I'm talking cold. I'll show you how cold it was. And I figure it out. I walk out there. If I had a snorkel, I could have used it. My face above water, right? And I feel it. I walk that prop all the way up the boat ramp with my toes, man. All the way up. I'm telling you, God is my witness. He was there and he saw me doing this stupid stuff. I get out of the water. I am purple from here down. Purple. I'm like, free. He's like, I'll give you $600 for it. Sold, sold, sold right there. I would have paid him $600 at this point to take that boat. Because if Michelle would have sold that boat, it'd have been over, y'all. We would not have Abundant Life Church, nor would I have kids. She'd have killed us all. So I walk up out of there. I come back and I walk into the house. She's like, well, how'd it go with that? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. And I go, well, it's sold. She goes, how much you get for it? $600? What? $600. Okay, so we paid him $600 for you to get a boat, keep it, clean it, fix it, and then sell it. You paid him $600. I told you so. I learned a valuable lesson, actually a lesson that still holds true till today. About this one thing that you must know if you're going to live a limitless life. Anybody know what it is? The power of this word right here. Agreement. How many of you know Michelle was not in agreement with the boat? Y'all hear what I'm saying? And I'm telling you right here, if you want to live a limitless life or your life be limited, learn how agreement works in life. Agreement is really one of the most powerful things you can really understand about life. It's one of the most powerful things. I was reading a story this week, looking up stories about agreement. There was a bridge builder in America several years back, and he said he built one of the biggest and strongest bridges in the world. and explained that nothing could take the bridge down, he believed. The bridge could withstand the weight of almost an innumerable amount of cars. The only thing that the designer said that would destroy the bridge is if a few hundred men walked across it marching in unison. Marching in unison. He explained that the idea that each of them stepping at the same time would put enough pressure on the bridge that it would actually bring the bridge down. See, there is a power that happens within agreement that brings people unified. And let me just tell you, if you haven't figured anything out about God, God is a God who operates within the confines of agreement. You can't have anything from God unless you agree with him. But at the moment that you agree with him, blessings will flow into your life. He becomes a limitless God when you agree with him. And now I want to teach you more tonight than just the idea of agreeing with God, though. I think it needs to go deeper than that. I think we need to identify the things that make agreement powerful. In other words, what does agreement do in your life? It's one thing to say, okay, we should agree. But it's another to say, what does agreement do? Because agreement does things in your life, whether you realize it or not. Just like with Michelle and I. If we walk in agreement, we see certain things happen in our life. But if you walk in disagreement, you will definitely see certain things happen in your life. I mean, think about it. I was thinking about it in light of the military. So going to basic training really is all about getting everybody in agreement. In agreement. They want everyone to operate within agreement. In other words, here's the task, here's what you're going to do, and here's how we're going to go about it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Everything that happens in the earth and happens with the intent to moving something forward happens with the power of agreement. You don't find anybody doing anything great on this planet without the power of agreement. You've got to agree. You've got to agree. I was thinking about even a church, in light of a church or in light of even your job or your business or where you work. Nothing happens without agreement. Abundant Life Church exists to be a place for people to agree about God. Agree about what? That he has an abundant life for us to inhabit and to take on. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely. And we agree with that, right? You know, not everybody agrees with that. They're not here. Right? It's the power of agreement. But let me just say this. I have seen in my life the power of agreement work so powerful. I think about one of the things that came that happened to me whenever I first got out of the military, came home in 97, and we went to the Million Man March in Washington, D.C., one of the first things that I did. It was pretty cool. There was over a million Christians there worshiping God. We got just a few blocks from that place, and you could hear people singing. All those men singing, it was like electricity in there. It gave you goosebumps. Have you ever been to a sports event where everybody was shouting something and it just made the atmosphere electric? What you're seeing is the principle of the power of agreement. I think about all the way back to high school. We used to have pep rallies. Y'all remember them? And we used to get fired up at pep rallies at Kokomo High School. Why? Because we waxed everybody. But anyway, I'm going on. Don't want to offend people. But I remember, you know, cheering for the Kokomo Wildcats to come out. You know, and back whenever they had sectional before class basketball, you know, that Kokomo would say, we want the Wildcats. And then McConaughey is who we were playing for the sectional championship one of my years. They were shouting, we want the Wildcats. And it was electric in the atmosphere. It was awesome. And then you heard McConaughey fans, so do we. Oh, y'all going to get us here in a minute. Come on, hey, y'all hear what I'm saying, though. It's amazing how the atmosphere. And let me just say this, in church world, do you know that one of the most powerful times you have is when you corporately come to church and we gather together under the same roof and we add our agreement to each other? I don't know about you, but outside of a sporting event or something like this, this is the one opportunity we have to add our agreement to each other, and because of that, certain things should happen, praise God. Amen? Certain things should happen. So you say, well then, what exactly happens? Let me give it to you this way. And this principle applies in your marriage. It applies it in your business. It applies at your job. I mean, it applies in your with your kids. Everywhere, this principle will work. It's kind of like a law. I would declare that it is a law. How many of you know there's the law of gravity? that brings things down. Y'all know that law? Yeah, yeah. Come on, if you haven't looked in the mirror, like, gravity's working, y'all. It's working. It's working. It's working, I promise. Now get this. How many of you know there is a greater law than the law of gravity, though? It's called the law of lift. That's how airplanes fly. That's how other people look young, old. The law of lift. Okay, anyway, that's called surgery of lift, but you get it later. All right, but listen to this. Listen to this. What does agreement do? Number one, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, but here we go. Look at it. Number one, it strengthens. It absolutely 100% strengthens. Strengthens. If you're going to strengthen your marriage, guess where it's going to start? It's going to start with agreement. If you're going to see God do limitless things in your life, guess where it's going to start? It's agreement. It's amazing to me how people want to see God do things, but then they don't want to agree with him. How many of you know if our kids disagreed with us all the time, how many of you know life would be limited? Come on. But yet we don't expect God to be that way. I can just believe what I want, and I can say what I want, and I can do what I want, and God's just going to do this, and God's going to do and that ain't tongues right there. That was me getting an attitude. No. Right? Come on. You got to know it strengthens. If that is true, listen to what the Word of God says. Look in Deuteronomy 32:30. It says this. How could one chase 1,000 and two can put 10,000? Let me give it to you in my vernacular. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. What's that saying? That's saying that one person has a limited ability, but then you add someone else to it, and that is not addition now. That's multiplication now. Did y'all get that? We went from one can put 1,000 to two puts 10,000. It's multiplied times itself. Whenever we come to agreement, whether it be with God, whether it be with our boss, whether it be in our marriage, whether it be with our kids, we see the power of God multiplied in those situations. Amen. Praise God. So if you want to see the multiplying power of God, you want to see it defeat the law of gravity, pulling things down, you want to live in the law of lift, then you're going to have to come to a place where you begin to agree. You agree. You agree. And I'll tell you, sometimes that means you have to compromise. I'm just not going to compromise. Then you're not going to get an agreement with no one. How many of you know if you're not careful, you can disagree with yourself? I heard somebody tell me one time, Pastor Charlie, I agree with about 90% of what you preach. I said, that's good. You're doing better than me. Say, Pastor Charlie, don't you agree with everything you preach? Yeah, at that time. Then I'll grow, and then I'll look back on something I said, and you know what? That wasn't. I remember teaching when I first got saved. Now, don't get the wrong idea. I'm not in, like, crazy error, all right? Like, we ain't got the snakes out yet, y'all. Okay? But how many of you know you should be growing? So certain things you have a belief about should change as you progress in God. Come on, am I right? Praise God. And that's all right. Look at this, Genesis 11. This is a perfect example. Perfect example of the power of agreement even working against God. I want you to see what God says about it. Whenever we think about the Tower of Babel, do you know that the flood happened? We got Genesis, several chapters of the book of Genesis happens. You know, we got the fall of man. We have all that. You know, think about it. Even the fall of man, the fall of Adam and Eve. Do you know how that started? They disagreed with God. Every plight of humanity is connected to disagreeing. Disagreeing. That's why it's one of the hardest things for us to understand, agreement, the power of unity. It's unbelievable. I believe in our culture, there is such a spirit of disunity. Come on, you've been around like I have. It's increasing as the end times come. It's increasing. People want to divide us over every little thing there is when God is a unifier. God brings people together. It's the enemy who divides. It is God who brings people together in agreement, right? Look at it. Check this out. And now, this is Genesis 11:1, talking about the Tower of Babel. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. What's that mean? They were in, come on, they were in agreement. And here's what they were going to do. They were going to build a tower. Y'all remember? They were going to build a tower. Let me tell you their idea. Nimrod came up with the idea, all right? And they were going to build a tower to reach the heavens. And their purpose was the flood had just came. They were going to build a tower so that they would make sure if God decided to flood the earth again, he wouldn't get them. And God never said they couldn't do it. Matter of fact, it's powerful what God says they can do because they're in agreement. Check this out. Look at it. This is 11:4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose tops is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are of what? One. Come on, everybody say they were in agreement. They were in agreement, man. They got in agreement. When they all got in agreement, things started happening. I'm telling you, agreement strengthens. Disagreement weakens. Agreement strengthens. Listen, whenever I go fishing and I'm fishing with somebody in my boat, they better agree we're going to catch fish. If not, I don't need them. Right? Check this out. Indeed, the people are one and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they have purposed to do is withheld from them. Come, let us go down and confuse their what? Language. Do you know what God was saying right there? He says, you know what? They're all in agreement. You know what I've got to create? Disagreement. I've got to allow them to be. Now, remember, they were working against God, okay? And God said, the only way I can get them to not do this evil thing is to get them in disagreement. Man, that's powerful. I mean, here they are disobeying God, walking against God's ordinances. But because they got in agreement, they were changing everything. And God said, the only way I'm going to stop it is to get them in disagreement. I think about some of the things that are happening within our culture. And I think about the power of agreement, even to the negative. It's amazing. It's amazing how just a few people can dominate. And if this ruffles your feathers, please excuse me, but I'm just going to be really frank about this. And not that I want to pick a fight with this, but I got to be straight. Do you know that the homosexual community is only 2.3% of the population of America? Only 2.3%. Yet TV, I read an article this week, that TV has 40% of what you see on TV shows homosexual relationships as the norm. If you just showed up from outer space and started watching TV, you would think 40% of all relationships in America is homosexual. Pastor Charlie, you're ruffling my feathers. I'm just saying it's amazing what people can do when they're unified. It's amazing what people can do when they're unified. It's amazing what can happen when people are unified. It's amazing how disunified the church is. It's amazing how disunified husbands and wives are. It's amazing how disunified homes and families are and the destruction that comes into their homes. And again, I'm not picking a fight. I'm just trying to prove my point that agreement brings power with it. And when people can agree, it's amazing what can transform a place. And I'm here to tell you that power was meant for us and for the people of God to harness and use, to use it to move God's things forward. Amen? Preach on, Pastor Charlie. I believe I will. Check this out. Numbers 13:27, beautiful example of the children of Israel. Children of Israel, remember the promised land? God had called them and told them, defeated the greatest military might on the planet. God had called them to inherit the promised land. So get this, God is in agreement. God thinks they can do this. But what happened with them? Well, I'll show you. Look what happened. It says Numbers 13:27. Then they told him and they said, they went out to the land where you sent us and it flows with milk and honey. These are the 12 spies that came back and were telling them. Nevertheless, the people who dwell there in the land are strong and the cities are fortified and they're very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, the giants, that are there. And the Amalekites. And he goes on. But if you would, drop down there to verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32. And when they gave the children of Israel a bad report, why was it bad? Because they disagreed with who? God. When you agree with God, you have strength. But when you disagree with God, you put yourself in a place of weakness. They put themselves in a place of weakness. God wanted them to take the land. God wanted them to take it so much that he's mad because they didn't. I'm sorry. It isn't like God said, oh, y'all don't want to take the land. Well, it's all right. Camp out in the wilderness. God said, no, for that little disagreement, y'all can go around the bush for about 40 years there. And every one of that generation died because they disagreed with God. We go on to read it. Check it out. He gave the children of Israel a bad report who had spied out, saying, the land in which we had gone out to spy and the land devours its inhabitants and all the people. And we saw in the men were a great stature. Watch this. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak that from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Is that what God said to worry about? Come on. God said what? Take the land. And they refused. Why? They disagreed with God. If you're going to see God's power move in your life, you're going to have to agree with God. Because here's the bottom line. You ready? Here's what the Bible teaches. Real simple. Disagreement always weakens. You go back to the story about Michelle and I in the boat. I should have known it wasn't going to pan out. We were in disagreement. When you're in disagreement, how many of you know? You lose power. It weakens. If you want a marriage to work and see the limitless power of God, you're going to have to get in agreement. Going to have to get in agreement. Going to have to get in agreement. Listen, our family, we operate this way. When we were believing for a house, we all got in agreement. We all got in agreement. When we were believing for things, we get in agreement. Why? We know that there's power there. We know that there's power. And you know what? The enemy loves for you to be weak by disagreement. Because he knows every disagreement is a weakness. It's a weakness. It's a weakness. So if you want to see the limitless power of God, find a way to agree. Find a way to agree. Find a way to come to a place where you compromise so you agree. You agree. See, Pastor Charlie, it happens in your life all the time. Can I tell you, not everything that happens at Abundant Life Church do I agree with. Sometimes I compromise. Yes, I do. If it was my way, we wouldn't have no pictures on the wall. None, zero. Not one hole in the wall. Just ask somebody around here. Right, baby? If it was me, we'd have Charmin on every toilet paper roll. Why? Because people remember that experience, praise God. I don't know how yours has been, but anyway, I need to get off of that and just keep on moving. But let me just assure you of this. If it was my way, certain things would be a certain way. I don't get my way in everything. But I've learned this. For the sake of agreement, where can we agree? Come on. Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, watch this. Unity doesn't mean that we agree on everything. Come on. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Yeah, absolutely. Check this out. You ready? Number two, if you're taking notes, write this one. This one's good. Unity always invites God's presence. Man, you can't have a bunch of disagreement in your marriage and then say, oh, God bless us. God's going to say, why don't you guys get in agreement on something and I'll bless it. Yeah, yeah. Why don't you get in agreement on this and I'll bless it. God never blesses disunity. God always blesses a place of unity. God always moves in a place where you agree, and as soon as you agree, it invites God's presence. Let me show you from the Word of God. There are literally all kinds of examples in this, but look at what Jesus said in Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth in anything, did y'all see that? Concerning anything. Concerning what? Y'all go and talk to me again. Anything. Does that mean boats? Yes. We wanted to restore a muscle car for Mike. You know what I did? I went to the bank and I took the money out and I went and bought it. Are you out of your mind? No. What did I do? Hey, baby. What you doing? How's your day? Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? Why? Because it's about an agreement. It's about getting unified in it, right? Because I know that if we agree, then God's presence will flow into that thing. Anything I don't agree with, and it's hard to get Michelle to agree to some stuff. It's hard. In the summer, I fish on Monday nights in a bass tournament. Michelle says I feed the fish money. I'm trying to get her in agreement that I'm going to win. Ain't happened yet. And I ain't won yet. Michelle, we have shut the presence of God off in that area. This Monday at Five Fish, you need to say, I agree. You ain't even got to say nothing. Just say, I agree. I just need your agreement, praise God. Anyway, check it out. That's what Jesus said. But he said this. He said, again, I say, if any of you touch on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done by my Father in what? Heaven. This is a powerful principle. It's a powerful principle. In other words, if I'm believing for something, it is important that I seek out people who will agree with it. I'll give you a powerful illustration of this. I went to a hospital one time. I was with another pastor. He was, quote, training me on how to pray for the sick. All right? I went with him to the hospital, and I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in the power of agreement. I believe if there's anyone sick, let them call the elders of the church. Let them pray, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. How many of y'all believe that? That's James. That's what the Bible teaches. We went there. We were in the room. Man had a tumor. We prayed for him. We prayed in faith, believing. We walked out of the room, and we're walking down the hallway, and the pastor says to me, "Ooh, he looks pretty bad. I don't think that's going to work." And I thought to myself, I didn't rebuke him. He was like an elder to me, and I didn't, you know, I'm learning to pastor and pray apparently or something. But I said, in my heart, I just said, wow, that's jacked up. That's the Charlie Riley talking to himself version, y'all. I said, that's jacked up. I mean, here we were just in there. We both agreed. We laid hands on him. We prayed. We're believing God for his health and his healing. And God forbid, my thought process was, if I ever get sick, do not call him. Are y'all, hey, when you're messing with my life, don't call somebody that ain't got any faith. Right? If my life is on the line, you better call some folks that believe for some stuff, praise God, that can get my body healed and get me healthy and get me going and get me moving along. So people will say, well, what about the results? Let me tell you, if I ever show up to your bedside, I do not worry about the results. The results are God. My job is to do what the Word of God says. I'm going to agree with the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Pray in faith, believing. Touch and agree, and you shall have by my Father. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to touch and agree. What if they die? I ain't lost nothing. What if they rise up? Praise God. God honored our prayer. Amen? Yes. And I wonder about that. That man did die, but I, you know, whether it was connected to that prayer or not, it makes no difference. Here's what matters to me. What matters to me is I would have rather have walked away and him pass away knowing I did my part to bring health and healing than for me to walk away and then with my own mouth destroy the faith that we had just released. Come on, y'all get what I'm saying. Man, it's so powerful and it's so important that we touch and agree. If you have any need in your life, let's say there's an area where you're struggling. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's financially. Maybe it's this or that or the other. Listen, find someone who can agree with you and pray about that thing and release God's power, because where you agree, God will release his power, man. I believe it with all my heart, with all my heart. This is why I believe one of the marriage is a great place to agree. It's really, if you really, really understand what marriage really is about, you'll understand that God has given me Michelle, and Michelle has been given to her by God. I've been given, how can I say that? That, you know, God gave me to her and all that. Y'all know what I'm saying? To be a place of agreement so we can get in agreement with each other. Watch this. Most people look at it as, well, if I tell her, she's gonna be mad, or she's going to be upset, or she's going to be this, or she's going to be... No. Look at it as a place of agreement. I need my spouse to agree. I need her to agree with me in this. You know what kind of intimacy that breeds in the marriage? You know? You know what that brings to a marriage? When you're willing to say, hey, babe, come on, agree with me. Hey, let me assure you of this. When I'm sick, I need her agreement. Michelle, lay hands on me. Believe God for me to be healed, praise God. Why? I am the biggest sissy on the planet. The stuff I get kills people, I'm convinced. And if it ain't true, don't tell me, because I'm convinced of it. But I survive, because she prays for me. Right? Check this out. The church was started on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost fully coming, they were all in one accord and in one place. Isn't it amazing? Check this out. That the Tower of Babel divided everyone, but the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the infilling of the Holy Spirit filling the church brings everyone into one language, and that is the gift of tongues. Brings everyone under that umbrella to have the same voice. Pretty powerful, isn't it? It's pretty powerful that it was the enemy who decided men should build a tower to erect to save them from God. And you know what? God divided the languages so they couldn't do anything. But then the day of Pentecost came where God wanted to gather the church and strengthen the church. So what did he do? Gave them one voice and one tongue. Pretty powerful if you think about it. Pretty awesome if you think about it. Because here's the truth. I believe that the church is the greatest, greatest power on this planet. But most of the time, the church disagrees with itself. Disagrees. We spend more time fighting each other than we do fighting the enemy. Think about it this way. Jesus said this about the church. He said, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What? The church. Did y'all hear that? Listen to what it says. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Here's the principle. Here's what most people think it says. Most people think that the gates of hell are charging the church. But it doesn't say that hell is charging the gates of heaven, or the world is, or the devil is charging Christians or charging the church. It should be that the enemy is locked up behind his gates. And that the church is moving forward and advancing through their agreement as to what the enemy is doing. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Powerful, powerful thing. If you really understand what I'm saying, it's the power of agreement. Check this out. Look at 2 Chronicles, perfect example. Well, I mean, there's all kinds of examples I could use. 2 Chronicles, it talks about it. We'll look at it for a second. "And indeed, it came to pass that when the trumpeters, singers were all as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord." Did y'all get that? When everyone had one voice. Let me ask you a question. Why do we sing on Saturday night, Sunday morning? Why do we sing worship songs? Do you know what really it's all about? It's about agreeing. It's about agreeing. It's about agreeing. It's about agreeing. Now, if you are one of those folks that are like, "Well, I just don't like singing." Okay, we're not asking you to sing then. Just agree. Just agree. Worship should be about agreeing. When we were singing, "I believe you're my healer," we're agreeing. We're agreeing with heaven. We're agreeing with each other. And you know what happens when we do that? We stir up the presence of God. Amen. Stir it up. That's what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, I never want to be a church where people don't sing. And I never want to be a church where people don't engage. I never want to be a church where we just look at music and singing as, "Well, this is just what we do for the first 20 minutes of service." Don't be that way. This is your opportunity for us corporately to get in agreement. One of the most powerful times of your week. Don't waste it. Don't waste your worship not agreeing. Don't waste it. It's a powerful thing. Because let me assure you of this. If you were sick, you'd want that agreement. One of the best ways to stay healed is just to be claiming, "I believe you're my healer. I'm going to get an agreement. I'm going to get an agreement with God." Why do you think I push on you guys like, "Come on, say amen to that"? Why do I need that? First of all, do you think I need it? Why should you say it? It's your agreement. You're in your heart, you're saying yes and amen over yourself. "Pastor Charles, I didn't think there was that much to it." Oh yeah, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. Why? Because here's the truth. I want your life to be blessed, man. I want your life to be blessed, and I know the power of agreement. If you'll agree with what God says in his word, man, you'll get what he says. He inhabits that. Check this out. We go on. Look at this. "They were praising, lifting their voices with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, praising the Lord, saying, 'For he is good and his mercy endures forever.' That the house and the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud. That was, the priest could not continue to minister under the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the" what? House. Now that was under the old covenant, and they needed the glory of the Lord to physically drop. But let me just say this. Do you know that the presence of God doesn't drop? That God lives where now? Come on, he lives in you. And you know how you get that glory out? by agreeing with God and agreeing with God and agreeing with God. That's what we're doing. We're stirring up his presence. Have you ever heard the verse, he inhabits the praise of his people? Where do you think he inhabits the praise of his people? Because you're agreeing with him. You want to see God do things in your life? You got to agree with him. Well, I just don't believe that. God's not asking you. He's saying, agree with me and I'll show you why you believe it. Amen. Praise God. Check this out. So we know this. Disagreement always, in every circumstance, destroys God's presence. Have you ever been to a church where there was just no presence of God? If you have, I can assure you most of the time, it's because there's a whole bunch of disagreement going on. You ever been to a place where you could sense the presence of God? I assure you it's because there's an agreement. I've been to some churches where I don't like the music. I've been overseas and preached in countries where I didn't even know what they were saying. Speaking another language. But I could sense, man, God's presence is here. There's just a flow here. There's something here. It's tangible. It's here. It's tangible. I can feel it. It's here. It's here. God's presence is here. Inevitably, I went to another church. I remember one time I was preaching in Ecuador. I walked into that place, and my goodness, I knew God's presence was in me and in the pastor, and that was about it. I started asking the pastor questions. I said, Pastor, what's up with this? One thing, I asked him, what was up with the drummer? I said, hey, what's up with the drummer? I just noticed there was something that in my heart just didn't jive. He goes, oh, I hired him. I said, you hired him? He goes, yeah, I hired him. He plays down at the club on Fridays, but he comes here and drums on Sunday. I asked him, I said, is he saved? He said, no, but I'm hoping he'll get that way. I thought, you'd be better off with a bunch of dudes up there with spoons that are saved than a guy up there showing off playing some drums for you. I'd rather the drums sit than have something like that. Why? Because he's not helping your agreement. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's about your agreement. It's about your agreement. It's about your agreement. Disagreement always destroys God's presence. If you are constantly in a place of disagreement, you can't experience God's presence in his life, in your heart. If you and your wife are always in disagreement, can I assure you, you're eventually going to destroy that relationship? If you're in constant disagreement with your kids, you're going to eventually destroy it. It's a disagreement. It's a disagreement. Disagreement always destroys God's presence. Always, always. And disagreement really is about people disagree, and I'm talking about hard line, I'm not moving, most of the time because they have a hard heart. Not always. Sometimes you got to draw a line in the sand. There are certain things that I will never agree with. First of all, if this pastor ever is asked to marry folks, husband, wife, y'all, just know where I stand. Yes, ain't happening. Ain't happening. Say, no, you should compromise. No, no, no. Some things we ain't compromising on. Well, you should get an agreement. No. Listen, I'm going to, watch this, principle. I'm going to agree with God first, man second. If God says something, I'm not compromising. Amen. Come on, y'all get what I'm saying? Doesn't mean I can't love folks. Doesn't mean I don't love folks. It doesn't mean I'm this or I'm that. I'm saying that this is first, this is second. And if God has the final say, I'm going to go with him first. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now, there are some things that the Word of God is silent. Absolutely silent. Should I buy a boat? The Word of God was silent. Did I need that woman's agreement? No. Wrong. Wrong. That boat was cursed. Cursed. I don't know if she went out there. I wish she was down at the other end someday. I don't know if she went out there as soon as it pulled in the driveway and went, no. Because it felt that way, man. It felt that way. It felt that way. I mean, even though I agree with her now. I agree with her now. I agree with her. And she agrees with me now, right? She hasn't agreed on the new boat. I do have a nice boat. But anyway, how many of y'all hear what I'm saying? Yeah, all right. Hey, listen, here's the truth. Disagreement always destroys. Always destroys. It's a destroyer of your home, your life, your job, everything. You can't have the limitless power of God and constantly be in disagreement. I like to say it this way, especially from pastor's view. Sheep do not drink from troubled waters. That's actually a fact. Sheep don't like stirred up waters. You know, my dogs, you can sit there and squirt the water hose into a bowl and they'll lap it as it's spraying. Sheep don't do that. They don't know what is going on, so they don't drink. Think about what I'm saying. When it comes to church, I don't like a lot of disagreement. Why? It stirs the waters and keeps people stirred up over something that really we don't even need to be worried about. It destroys God's presence. If we're going to do big things for God, we need His presence. And if we're going to need His presence, we're going to have to stay in agreement. Amen? Doesn't mean we agree on everything. We can have unity and yet still disagree on some things. But how many of you know we're going to agree on the big things? Praise God. All right, check this one out. Last one. You ready? Agreement always moves you forward. Everybody say moves us forward. It always moves you forward. It always moves you forward. A great verse that I love and I commit to memory is this. Can two walk together unless they do what? Agree. You can't walk with people you constantly disagree with. Boy, this is a powerful thing right here. It's a powerful thing to know I can't walk with people who constantly disagree with me. Well, now, let's talk about it in the context of just relationships. Obviously, I'm not talking about your kids or your family, even though I will say it applies. If your kids are 40 years old and you're constantly in disagreement with them, how many know you're going to have a hard time walking with them every day? I'm not talking about a 13-year-old kid. I'm talking about those that are outside of your family and those that want to be close to you or your friends. How many of you know you can't have people real close to you if they are constantly disagreeing with you being a Christian, you being saved, you loving God, you loving the Word? You say, oh, Pastor Charlie, I'm evangelizing. Listen, I'm all for evangelism. I'm all for reaching the lost. I'm all about that. But here's what I do know. Bad company corrupts good morals. That's not just the principle. That's in the Word of God. Here's what the Bible teaches, that if you're growing spiritually and you hang around a bunch of people that aren't willing to grow spiritually, you will not bring them up. You will be brought down. I can't walk with folks that are not willing to move forward with me with God. I want folks that encourage my faith in God, not destroy my faith in God. So if somebody starts to begin to drain the life out of me and drain my faith out of me, how many of you know we ain't going to be able to walk together too long? You say, oh, that's cruel. No, it's not. How can two walk together unless they agree? Think about Jesus and the disciples. Do you remember there was a time in Jesus' ministry where the Bible says that there were thousands of people following him? And he turned around and he looked at them and he challenged them and he said this, if you don't drink of my flesh If you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And the Bible says that many departed from him that day. Why? They wouldn't get an agreement. Jesus was okay with folks leaving, provided they didn't agree. But when they were in agreement, he was constantly ministering into them. Why couldn't he do great things with the Pharisees and Sadducees? They wouldn't agree with him. Why did he do great things in people who were lame and sick and broken and beaten up from life? Why? They would get in agreement with him. I'm telling you, it's a principle throughout the Word of God. Are you getting the message tonight? I've said it like 50,000 different ways. Check this out. This is another awesome verse that I believe will work great in your life. Listen to this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the what? Ungodly. Now, let me just say this. It says, walks not in the council. It means, blessed are the people who do not get in agreement with people that are ungodly. If you get in agreement with people that are ungodly, it's going to drag you down. It's going to drag you down. Hey, listen, and again, agreement always moves you forward. If you want to move backwards, get in agreement with people that aren't going anywhere. Look at it. It keeps on. Nor stands in the path of sinners. If you get in agreement with people that encourage people to sin, guess what? You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to move spiritually. And here's the last part of that. Nor sits in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the what? Scornful. If you get in agreement with people that scorn and tear apart other people, guess what? You're not going to move spiritually forward. You're going to actually destroy your faith. Say amen to that. That's true. It's true. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to listen to ungodly people run my life. I'm not getting in agreement with that. Nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. One thing I want you to see in this tonight, I want you to see this, that the path to not going anywhere in faith is progressive. Y'all hear what I'm saying? It starts out, walks, stands, and then ultimately sits. If you get in disagreement with God, in disagreement with other people, what you're eventually going to do is stop and sit and wonder why everything passed you by. You're not going to live with your limits off. You're going to live completely limited, sitting there wondering why nothing's happening in your life. And it all goes back to who are you agreeing with. Have you ever noticed that if you get around certain people, and I'm no different than you, I can get around certain people that I love to be around, but they're pretty negative in nature, and if I'm not careful, they'll start dragging me that way. And I notice myself from doing this in my faith, you know, to this, until eventually this, and then I'm pointing, and then I'm sitting. And then I'll ask myself, what are you getting in agreement with them for? Why are you agreeing with that? You don't believe that. Come on, am I right? And it's because of who you gotten yourself in agreement with. I'm just of the opinion that God wants us to grow to a place where we are going to agree with God, and we'll agree with each other. And because of that, we're going to see God's presence. We're going to see God's power move in our life, and we're going to progress forward in the things of God. But as long as we're in disagreement, it isn't going to happen. I mean, just imagine. What it took for Walt Disney, we were there at the 50th year anniversary, I believe, at Walt Disney World. And as I walked around that place, the place is absolutely phenomenal of what they did. They built that whole place in just 50 years when we were there. And I thought to myself, I thought about how the world sometimes understands the principles of agreement. You know they didn't agree on every ride. But they saw the master plan as a greater thing than just our little deal, and we need to be in agreement on what we're going to do. And I thought, my goodness, why can't the church do something awesome like this? I'm not talking about building rides, y'all. I'm talking about as the church, why can't we see the bigger picture of what God wants to do in people's lives and get in agreement with what God wants us to do? It's pretty phenomenal. I think the limits would be off of the church and off of our lives if we will just get in agreement. Absolutely powerful. Look at it this way. Psalms, it goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, we should delight ourselves in the word of God and get in agreement with him. And in his law, we both meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers and brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he does will prosper. That's a person willing to get in agreement with God. When you're willing to get in agreement with God, man, you're going to see God's power. So just kind of recapping here. Number one thing you need to know about when you agree with God, you're going to do what? What do you see? Come on, you're going to have strength. So if you need strength here tonight, where do you need to agree with God? Lord, I need strength in my marriage. Agree with God about your marriage. What's the Bible say about your marriage? Well, God has joined together. Let not man tear apart. You need agreement. Where do you need help? Your kids? Remember what the Word of God says. Train them up in the way they should go. When they grow old, they shall not depart. Right? That me and my house, Joshua, me and my house shall be saved. Right? I'm going to claim and agree what God says. Why? It brings strength into my life. I'm struggling. I need strength in my finances. Okay, listen, here's what the Bible says. Whatsoever your hands do, they shall prosper. So I'm going to agree with God that they're going to prosper. And if I can't believe by myself, I'm going to go find someone that can touch and agree with me. Because when we touch and agree, power is then multiplied, praise God. Amen? So we got number one is what? Strength. Number two, what does agreement do? Come on, it brings God's presence. You want to invite God's presence into your house? Play some worship music and sing with it because it's your agreement. that God's looking for. You say, Pastor Charlie, I don't sing well. Hey, God's not looking for your voice. He's wanting your heart. Your heart. You bring God's presence when you agree with Him. When you agree with Him. Have y'all ever been into a place that had worship music playing where you could just sense God's presence? I mean, I go into Chick-fil-A, and I don't know if it's the waffle fries or God's presence, man, but I just, or the sweet tea. I don't know, but I sense something, praise God. I'm in agreement. Even, I'll be honest with you, even Hobby Lobby has a presence there. I mean, the presence for Michelle is very different than me. For Michelle, it's like, bye. But for me, it's like, there is a peace there. There's a peace there. How many of y'all hear what I'm saying right now? That's why the enemy hates Hobby Lobby. Some husbands too. But anyway, for different reasons, obviously. All right? So we invite God's presence. Third, last one is what? Come on, it moves us forward. When we agree with God, what happens? We move forward. Every time we agree, we move it forward. If you want your marriage to move forward, find a place of agreement. I've told you this before, but I'll say it again, that Michelle and I, when we first started tithing and giving to the Lord, that started because we got an agreement. Here's the truth. We started agreeing not on the tithe. We didn't tithe first. And statistics say it takes 2 years before someone actually tithes to the Lord. Listen, we started this way. We could agree on $20. We could agree on. Me, sell the house. Michelle does the bills. Y'all hear what I'm saying? She lives in the real world. I live in vision. Come on, y'all get what I'm saying? So Michelle would be like, hey, listen, I know that's where you're at, but here's where I'm at. But I realized in our 20 became 40. And again, this isn't about money. I'm just saying the principle of agreement is what moves you forward. If you want your marriage to move forward, find a place to agree and attack that thing. If you consistently live in disagreement, let me assure you of this. You won't see God's presence. You won't be able to move forward. You won't be able to see things the way God has them. And you know what? You'll be absolutely limited. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Come on, let's pray.